Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word, a familiar word, a word that reminds us of your love and your care for all of your people. We pray, O Lord, that we might know that, and at the same time hear in your word a message for us, that we might be faithful disciples to your work and your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I shared with you that my dad had the magic cure for all colds, bronchitis, sore throats, and runny noses. And it was found in that little cobalt blue bottle in the medicine cabinet. Vicks. Vicks was, according to my dad, good for just about anything that ailed you. If you had a cold that was going into your chest, he would rub it all over your chest, and then he would take that square foot of flannel and put it over it and pin it to my pajamas. Now, the Vicks wasn't bad, but that flannel, it was like hundreds of little needles going right into my skin. And then, if you had a runny nose, Dad said, just put some on your finger and put it up your nose. And if you had a sore throat, well, just take a dollop and put it in your mouth and let it melt. Now, of course, I gave my dad a hard time for that one later in life because the bottle clearly said not for internal use. But I lived through it. It was no secret that Vicks was the cure-all for all symptoms of the common cold. And I thought of that as I read the story of Naaman. I recall the Vicks cure because it was such a simple cure. Naaman, however, was looking for something not as simple. He was looking for the great and grand cure. And Elisha tells him to go and dip himself in that muddy Jordan River. I mean, anybody who has seen the Jordan River, even today, will tell you it's not a clean river. Well, that would not do for such a great general. And we can imagine him with his, as like a modern-day general, his boots polished to a high shine, the stars on his collar and the starch in his clothes and the severe creases on his pants and his shirt. And here he was facing a servant, not even the prophet himself, who tells him, go wash in the Jordan. There was no prophet. There was no divine voice. No sensational drama. Just a servant of him telling him to dip himself in a muddy river. This was an outrage. This was insubordination. This was not how you treated a great person like Naaman. I mean, after all, Naaman was of a higher class. He felt he was due more respect, and so in righteous indignation, he stomps off. And he was completely ready to let his pride and his status preclude any possibilities for healing. You know, so often we are like Naaman. We let status, we let pride get in the way of healing. How many times we've gone to the doctor for something and we want that pill that's going to make us better? And the doctor says, just exercise more. Eat better. Oh, come on, doctor, give me a pill. We let class and pride get in the way of our relationships. A friend may hurt us, and before we go to them, we want them to come and begging on both knees, feeling full of contrition. You see, what happens is we get in the way of our own healing. We get in the way of healthy relationships. We try to find a complicated solution to a simple problem. Because there is nothing simple about our health or our relationships. Simple truths are suspect. It just can't be that easy. A number of years ago, Peter Drucker and the other Tom Peters, and still I think to this day, but we don't hear from them as much, but they were considered the gurus of corporate organization strategies. They wrote books and people, companies brought them in. And because companies were finding that their business models were spiraling out of control. Issues were difficult and nothing seemed to help. And they called in these expensive consultants who created bigger and more elaborate business structures. And Drucker and Peters came along and said, stop. Stop all this nonsense. Don't spend any more money on those high-priced consultants. Rather, go talk to your people. Go talk to those who do the work for you. Listen to them. They can tell you what needs to be done because they live it and see it every day. Listen to your staff. Spend time with your customers. Listen to what they want. It was the Vicks cure. Well, corporate uncontrollability, whatever you want to call it. Listen to the people who do the work for you and who purchase your product. Get out of your fancy office and count and stop counting the crunching the numbers and just go find out what your people have to say, what your customers have to say. Climb off your high horse. That's the hard part, though. To climb off our high horse. Because to do that, we have to recognize the value in the experience of all of those under us. This is true as churches as well. You know, we've devised some elaborate healing services. Utilizing sometimes sensation and drama, all you have to do sometimes is watch TV and evangelists. But life is transformed through people praying for people. With being with them and laying their hands on them, touching them. Literally or figuratively. The church has from the beginning attempted to codify in ever more complicated language, who is righteous and who is not? Who is in and who is out? And did you notice in the story of Naaman that he didn't have faith in God before he was healed? That came afterwards. But he had to let go of his pride and his high status, his wealth, everything that he had and was, and listen to the slave of a prophet who was speaking the word of the prophet. Go dip yourself seven times in the muddy river and you'll be clean. The cure is simplicity. We make things too complicated. In Naaman's case, to be obedient to the words of Elisha. And this brings me to today. There's a lot of talk today about class warfare in our political structures and processes. Both sides of the great political divide blame the other for creating class warfare in our nation. Now, I will say, I firmly believe that there is class warfare. And it's done by all people. Or all sides. And it's focused on, in many ways, those who are out in and those who are out. Those who have it and those who don't. Many of those, not all of them, I'm not making a blanket statement here, but many of those considered to be in the upper ranks of our society by virtue of bank accounts and investment portfolios and position are trying to hold on and increase what they have. And those those in the middle and lower part of society, those that many might say are out, not in, are seeing their salaries shrink in terms of actual dollars because their pay is frozen, and or they have to pick up more of their medical insurance, or they have to pay more of their pensions. And I know there needs to be a lot of discussion about how much people should pay, but still, and I don't want to get into that now, but the point is they're losing. They're not having their pensions fully vested by those responsible for doing so. And then on top of that, you know, what happened a few years ago, we had big mortgage giants playing games with people's mortgages, literally betting on them to fail in some cases, and the company losing money, housing values decline, and people lose their homes. Generally to no fault of their own. There is a class warfare going on in our nation today. And the pride and the status of many politicians and CEOs and others, the status of their position, the enjoyment of that status is wreaking havoc on our country. Keep that image. Let's go to Mark. The status of the leper is that, definitely of an outsider. The lepers were the lowest of the low. They had to stay outside of the village, live in caves. They could not come near people. And if somebody came near them, they had to cover themselves and say, unclean, unclean. They had no hope of being accepted, helped, or declined to something better. And Jesus does what the power of the powers of his day say, don't do. He touched him. He simply touched the man and the leper. He said, I desire that you be healed. And the leper is clean. Simplicity. He touches the man and the man is clean. No outcast, writes Gary Willis in What Jesus Meant, were cast out far enough in Jesus' world to make him shun them. Not Roman collaborators, not lepers, not prostitutes, not crazed, not possessed. Nobody was beyond the bounds of God's grace and healing. And we need that kind of transformation in our society today. That nobody is beyond the bounds of having what they need. We need the different levels of our society to start taking notice of each other and attempting to relate and touch each other. But we will be like Naaman and walk away from healing, walk away from hope. We'll end up walking away from the possibility. And there will not be transformation then. There will be entrenchment and revolution. And I believe it's up to the church to stand up and speak a word of justice and grace. We have to call all people to the table and say, no one is better, no one is more important than the other person. If that were the case, if there were people who were better, people who were more important than other people, Jesus wouldn't have healed the leper. Well, you're in your place. But Jesus says with that healing that no one is better than anybody else. And the transformation of the leper, the recognition of his humanity, is the simple key, the victor's cure. Everyone deserves the rights of dignity, of respect, and the basic necessities of life. We put it right in the Declaration of Independence, folks. The challenge of Jesus to us today is that we have to do something as a church and as individuals in the church. To not do anything, to say, we can't do anything about this, that's to acquiesce to the powers. God loves us. It's like you don't have hope. God hurts us. And God demands that we love God's people. All of God's people. It's as simple and as difficult as that. And we begin to do that by becoming aware of what is happening in the world around us. Excuse me. What is happening to our brothers and sisters? We do that by telling the people that this life is not about gaining, acquiring. This life is about joining with everyone and enjoying what God has blessed us with. And sharing that blessing out of love. So my prayer today is that we will become aware of what is happening. And in our own way, as individuals and as a church, in our own time, we might be peacemakers between the classes of our society. We have the power to do that. Each one of us. We just need to begin to do it. It's as simple as that. We just need to go dip ourselves in that muddy river. Amen.